You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere. Here are your hosts, Richard Justice and Allison Footer.
Welcome to MLB.com Extras, the San Diego Padres. I'm Richard Justice of MLB.com, joined by Allison Footer of MLB.com, and Corey Brock, who covers the Padres for MLB.com, will be with us in a minute. Allison, the Padres have played great since in the second half. Great ERA, pretty good record. I think he's been the best of the National League for a while. To me, that speaks well of the manager, that if you get a team to play well when all hell's going, breaking loose around you, you have every reason not to play hard, and you keep going, that's, to me, that says Bud Black's done a pretty dang good job. What do you think?
I would think so, and I think that through Bud's tenure there, I mean, I don't know that anybody's ever tried to pin any of the Padres' woes onto him. I mean, you just don't hear negative things said about him, written about him. You know, if you've met him, then you kind of understand that he's just an even-keeled guy. He certainly knows baseball. He understands pitching, and he knows how to handle a clubhouse. So I think of all the things that the Padres have to overcome, I don't think the manager is any kind of issue at all.
Let's bring in Corey Brock, who covers the Padres. Corey, I just want to say your coverage of the hiring of A.J. Preller was unbelievably good. I mean, the background you gave our readers on A.J. Preller and his story and what he brings to the table, which, because it was not the, maybe the safest hire, but one of the many good quotes you had in there was from John Daniels of the Rangers, his boss. A.J.'s, I guess he knew him at Cornell, and then they worked together at the Rangers. He doesn't sleep, unquote. What did you learn? What was the most striking thing you learned in your reporting about A.J. Preller?
Yeah, thank you, Richard. Yeah, it was just a kind of a fascinating story to kind of work through, because like everyone else, and I don't think this is uncommon, is when you're when these hires are made, you know, you all you really know is what you've heard from people. And, you know, that's kind of a slippery slope, you know, and it's, you know, hearsay and maybe some good things, maybe some not so good things. And that, you know, this wasn't necessarily the case with Preller, but just with anybody in general. Hey, we just hired so-and-so, or what do you know about this guy? You know, in everyday walk of life. So, you know, you do some digging, you make some calls, you know, inevitably it leads you to some good anecdotes, you know, and, you know, just kind of a tireless worker, a guy with a real knack for scouting. And, you know, I talked to one of his biggest mentors, Don Welke, a guy that's, he got some really deep scouting ties with a lot of different clubs, worked with Pat Gillick with the Blue Jays years ago, signed a lot of guys. And, you know, him and Don Welke and A.J. Preller really hit it off during A.J.'s days with the Dodgers. You know, Don's 35 years older than A.J., and for some reason, the two just, you know, really hit it off. A.J. picked his brain. Don shared a lot of things with him. And, you know, I asked Don, I said, well, what is it? Why is this guy such a good talent evaluator? And he said, well, Corey, you know, just like a lot of things, why you're probably good at your job, why anyone's good at their job, you can't really explain it. There's just something about it where it just kind of sort of clicks. And with AJ, that you know, the talent evaluation, being able to watch a guy and understand what makes a good player. And, you know, it didn't happen overnight. It took some time, but kind of that relentless work ethic. I know I've been giving you a long-winded answer here, but, you know, I just got a lot of different voices from people, Frank Robinson, who worked with AJ, you know, right out of Cornell, gave him his start in the Arizona Fall League and then in Major League Baseball office. And just a lot of different things were saying, you know, this guy will not be outworked. He doesn't sleep. You know, his scouting acumen is off the charts. And you're right. You know, this is an out-of-the-box hire for the Padres. You know, and this is no knock on a lot of general manager candidates or a lot of general managers. You know, I hate to use the term cookie cutter, Richard, but you know, this guy is not that guy. He's not that 30, 40 something type who have, you know, grown up in the game of baseball and held certain jobs coming up the food chain. This is a guy that's maybe done things a little differently and would be just as comfortable standing on a backfield in a floppy hat and cargo shorts and watching games as you would doing anything else, maybe more so. So it's going to the job's going to be a little bit of an adjustment for him. But, you know, I think ultimately I think the Padres got this one right.
Yeah, and let me just ask you one more thing. He worked for Frank Robinson as an unpaid guy. And would you tell the story in 300 nights a year on the in a hotel room? That tells you, you one of the questions you ask him is, do you have any furniture? But I want to get you to tell the story of him and Jim Tracy when both were with the Dodgers and Jim asking him for recommendations.
Yeah, this is a funny one. And, you know, I was told this story twice, and I felt like I had to use it. Don Welke told me this story, and then Jim Tracy, who's a wonderful human being. Jim's now out of the game and retired and just outside of Cincinnati. Jim, of course, was a manager with the Dodgers and most recently with the Rockies. He mentioned, you know, they were in Dodger Town. This was probably 2002, 2003, right around there. Again, AJ is still pretty new with the Dodgers. And, you know, they're kind of huddled around Jim Tracy's suite there, you know, kind of a dormitory-like conditions in Dodger Town. And, you know, it's Don Welke. It's, you know, Dan Evans is a GM at the time. AJ is sitting there. He's a little bit of a wallflower still. Jim Tracy, and, you know, Jim can talk a little bit. And so, you know, he's trying to get AJ to loosen up a little bit. So he gets a bright idea. He's going to give him a homework assignment. So, you know, and the Dodgers looking for a backup catcher, which is completely true. And he turns to AJ and says, you know, hey, we're looking for a backup catcher. AJ, bring me a list of 15 guys, 15 potential guys. Bring me 15 guys by tomorrow. And, you know, kind of did this with the intention of, you know, like he'd like to get some names, but, you know, he knows how he's going to carry out the punchline on this. So sure enough, AJ shows up with a list the next day. Of course, Don Welke delivers a little bit different punchline with this, one I probably can't repeat. But now Jim, of course, says, takes a look at the list, and he looks up and he looks at AJ, and, you know, without having my notes or my story here, it kind of says, well, we better get Walter Matthau out here to see if Engelbert's available, because this is a, you know, such and such horrible list. And mortified, I'm sure, AJ Preller cannot believe that Jim Tracy, the manager of the Los Angeles Dodgers here, is just ripping him a new one. I mean, of course, Jim Tracy, wonderful human being, is just trying to loosen the kid up a little bit, and just one of many wonderful stories I sort of got out of that deal. But just trying to get the kid a little bit more loosened up a little bit, and get him to feel a little bit more comfortable in the room. So that was kind of a fun one.
Corey, we're looking at the standings. Of course, you know, we have a soft spot for the Padres just because they were never a contention for anything this year. And all of a sudden, and they're still not a contention. I guess you have to really look. You can't consider yourself a real player if you're not even at the 500 mark. So, but, I mean, looking at them, and just they've had such a great run since the All-Star break, and really nobody's been better. So does placement in the standings mean anything to them? I mean, do you think that it's important for them to get to 500, or it's important for them to end up in third place, or – do you think any of that matters as the Padres are winding down the season?
You know, I don't know, Allison. You know, this seems to kind of happen with these guys year after year that, you know, before we can get into the whole the roster issue and how Bud Black really has anything to work with in 8 years here. I could go on and on about that. But, you know, if we kind of take a look at this, you know, it's the team that, for whatever reason, has kind of been hamstrung by injuries and underperformance, and then somehow rallies in the second half of the year and makes a valiant run at 76 wins and ultimately kind of costs them some spots in the draft pool there. And, you know, and I don't know, you know, what that all means in the end and how important these victories are in August and September versus a higher draft pick. That's another story for another time, but you know, it's been a nice story, and mostly because it's a kind of, you know, a revamped and different looking clubhouse at this point. They've gotten some guys back from the disabled list, losing Yonder Alonso the other day with a forearm injury just when he came back and he was starting to swing it. You know, that's going to hurt them a little bit. But Jed Jerko, he is back from the disabled list after missing about a month, a little bit longer with the foot injury. He's been doing all right. You know, they just dropped recently on the road, dropped 3-4 in St. Louis, which, you know, far worse teams have done that as well. But that took a little wind out of their sails. But,
You know, it's an interesting mix. I still think it's a roster sort of in flux, and especially with the new general manager kind of taking a look at this over the final 5-6 weeks of the season, trying to figure out, okay, which of these guys are going to stay? Who is a part of this team moving forward? You know, I wouldn't be at all surprised if, you know, there's some non-tender candidates, if there's some guys that are maybe some outright release guys at some point. A real critical time for this organization, and especially when you bring in a new general manager with some new eyes and new opinions, and he's going to certainly want to put his stamp on this. And it's going to be really curious to see which direction this organization goes. But to your original point, though, yes, the team has been playing better. The baseball has been much more crisp, a lot more fun to watch. The pitching's been good from day one. They're starting to hit a little bit. So, yes, the performance, there's been an uptick there.
And the other issue that, I mean, really the teams have to look out for, especially with young players, is just monitoring the workload. So I know that they're keeping an eye on Jesse Hahn. And so that's part of it, too. I mean, you want to win every game you can, but you also have to know when to sort of shut guys down or at least, you know, back off a little bit. So is that going to be a big factor in September for this team?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that Jesse Hahn is a young pitcher. They just turned 25 recently, a guy that they're had Tommy John surgery a couple of years ago. They're still kind of bringing along slowly. I wouldn't be at all surprised if the Padres kind of went to a six-man rotation here for the rest of the way. They have a few guys that they're probably going to call up, guys who have had injury issues in the past, Tommy John guys. They're going to take a look at in the month of September. And it's kind of an evaluation period, not just, you know, we talk about roster expansion on September 1st. And it isn't just for prospects. You know, the Padres have a few guys that they need to make some calls on. You know, Cameron Maben's coming back from his 25-game suspension. Where does he fit in all this? He's still owed quite a bit of money. Are they? Where do they stand with him? What does the new general manager think of him? Would they swallow that money? Would they try and swap his contract for, let's say, somebody else's bad contract? So it's going to be real curious to see how all these pieces fit moving forward. Carlos Quinton is owed $8 million next year. Joaquin Benoit, the closer, $8 million next year. Do they keep him? Do they move him? To me, this is a real interesting time for the Padres. I'd like to take a snapshot of this roster today and look at it on April 1st, 2015, and just see how dramatically different they're going to be, because I think they will be.
Yeah, you know, Corey, one of the things is when you have guys that have been hurt for a couple of years, do you have any confidence that they're going to be healthy going forward? What can you count on in terms of Carlos Quinton? And there are other guys like that.
Well, yeah, you're exactly right, Richard. This is a performance game, and you know, there's a big segment of our population, baseball fans, that, you know, loves prospects, and you know, I fall into that trap too. But at some point, you know, when we're talking about young pitchers, and the Padres have had this happen to them, you know, it's, you know, if these guys can't get to the big leagues, the prospects, pitchers, position players, you know, if they continue to be hurt by injuries, and I'll use Casey Kelly as an example, a key piece to the Adrian Gonzalez deal. If you remember him with the Red Sox a few years ago, that deal they swung, Anthony Rizzo was obviously another big piece there, and they moved him to the Cubs. But, you know, he had Tommy John surgery. There's been some other hiccups along the way. What happens, Richard, as you know, the game starts to forget about you a little bit. Now, the organization, they're still fully aware that you exist, you know, but you're down there and you're working out that rehab facility in Arizona or Florida, trying to work your way back, and that's a pretty lonely existence. But you have, you know, it's a performance-based game, and at some point, these teams have to move on. You know, you can't cross your fingers and hope for the best with these guys. At some point, you have to understand that, you know, if you get something out of somebody, great. But you have to understand that you have to get some value somewhere. And the guy on the disabled list, the guy that's not performing, the guy that's not around is not going to do it. You have to move on.
Well, of all the teams that I guess are not contenders, I would say the San Diego Padres are among the most interesting to keep your eye on. And we will be keeping our eye on the Padres and on you, Corey. So thank you very much, and we'll be talking to you very soon.
Catch all of the second half action on MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service. Watch every out-of-market game streamed live online or on the go in true HD. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 14 subscription, allowing you to watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.